Hi, everybody. This is Unbound by Anne Berg, and this is episode 6. The next Saturday, Aunt Tempy won't let me visit Mama. But I visit Mama every Saturday. If Mama don't see me, she'll worry. She'll be crying herself to sleep, for sure, I argue.
We'll get word to her, Aunt Tempy says. Things is different now. You got to be here if the missus comes looking for you.
Worrying about Mama feels like worms is crawling in my belly. I'm so mad at Aunt Tempy. I squint my eyes till I feel wrinkles in my forehead. But Aunt Tempy don't care.
Good night, Grace, she says.
I pretend I'm already asleep. When I hear her snoring like a bee in clover, I get up. I slip on my day gown and tiptoe into the kitchen. I'm just about to step outside when I hear a clatter and bump from inside the big house. I creep into the walkway and peek through a keyhole. Anna is on her knees picking up the pieces of a broken bowl what come all the way from England. I open the door quietly, and when she looks up, I see great big tears running down her face. Don't cry, Anna, I say. I'll help you clean up.
She's going to send me to the smokehouse for sure, Grace.
Then she's going to send me away. Says next time I bump or spill something, she's going to send me south.
Told Master Allen I'm not worth an empty cask what's got bugs in it.
That's not true, Anna, I say. Bring the candle closer. If we pick up all the shatterings, maybe she won't notice.
The missus notices everything, Anna says.
Why are you down here anyway? I ask.
The missus is feeling queasy, came to get her medicine, and she says she wants you to bring her some mint tea.
Me? Anna nods.
I heard her tell Master Allen she brought you here to take my place. She's going to sell me, Grace. She says slaves what's got pale skin is smarter than slaves what look like me.
Master Allen agrees you is a good vestment, and said they should have brought you up sooner.
What's a vestment? I ask,
but Anna shrugs. Anyway, I say, just because a folk says something don't make it true. Skin's got nothing to do with smartness. We both got just as many smart thoughts as Master Allen, only we got to keep 'em bound up inside us. Anna looks up. Her face is dry, but her eyes still brim.
Grace!
Aunt Tempy is standing in the doorway. She whispers my name, but it slices the air sharp as a butchering knife.
I just came to get her, Anna says. The missus wants Grace to bring her some tea.
Aunt Tempy looks at me like the missus do, with squinty eyes and a scowling face that puts shivers down my spine.
I'll get the biscuits, her voice says, but her eyes tell me something different.
Anna carries the half-burned candle while I balance the silver tray what carries the tea basket, flowered teapot, matching teacup, and 2 soda biscuits. I'm careful not to bump the large ghosty shadows what flicker on the wall as we climb the stairs. I got more thoughts tumbling in my head than a mind can hold. Anna's sweet and fragile as a honeycomb. How can the missus be so mean? How can anybody be so mean? Anna opens the missus's door. She uses the candle to light 2 more and nods at me to place the tray on a small wooden table. The missus's bedroom is bigger than Mama's cabin. Her bed's the same size as the dining room table with 4 carved posts holding up its own roof. In all my imaginings, I never saw a bed with a roof or crowded with so many pillows.
The missus wears a white cap and a wicked scowl.
How long does it take to make a cup of tea? Anna, bring me the chamber pot.
On the floor beside the chamber pot is a single rumpled blanket, what must be where Anna sleeps. I turn my back to give the missus privacy and pour her tea. Brightly painted thimbles sit in a basket on a cushioned chair beside the table. I think of Mama quilting, mending clothes with pinched fingers and swollen hands, from working in the fields.
Would the missus know if I slipped a thimble into my pocket to give to Mama?
Grace, I'm waiting for my tea,
the missus snarls. I put away my wicked thoughts. I don't want Mama's fingers wearing any nasty thimble what belonged to the missus. A week after Jordan runs away, during a breakfast of boiled eggs and biscuits, Master Allen announces he'll be riding with Moses to place an advertisement in the Watchman.
He's getting the horses ready. I'm sure Jordan's out of state by now, the missus says.
Master Allen looks up. He don't say nothing, but stares at the missus till she turns her head.
Grace, you're slouching, she snaps.
I put my shoulders back, not because of any promise, because I think I see the missus flinch, and I know sometimes a mean look stings more than an angry slap.
Jordan's done gone for good,
Aunt Tempy says later that night. She sets down leftover crab cakes for me, Anna, and Uncle Moses.
No more Master Allen's white blindfold for him, she says.
Uncle Moses shakes his head.
We don't know for sure, Tempy.
His ash-rimmed eyes is sunk and sad.
Said maybe next time he'd head for the woods. Said he'd rather a gator rip off his arm. Rather the dogs tear out his heart.
His voice is lower than a whisper.
I heard the hounds baying.
The woods near the swamp? I ask. But I might as well be talking to the wind. Aunt Tempy and Uncle Moses pay me no mind.
Moses, no,
Aunt Tempy says. Her voice is hushed but firm. He almost made it the last time.
He knows folks what can help him.
She stares at Uncle Moses with solemn, steady eyes, what look like they's telling their own story.
I feel it in my bones, Moses, she says.
And I wonder what story her bones know. I wonder what story belongs to Aunt Tempy.
Jordan's basking in freedom, she says,
and I say a prayer she's right. We eat our crab cakes in silence, each of us thinking our own thoughts and making our own prayers and imaginings. I once heard old George Cooper say he's seen dogs kill a man.
Dogs will tear your arms right from your shoulders and rip your nose right from your face. Dogs will leave you so broken and bloody, you is going to pray the good Lord send an angel to shoot you.
I try to imagine Mama's angels, their bright starlight dresses glimmering a path in the darkness, their soft silver angel voices whispering messages of hope, their wide wings swooping down and carrying Jordan to freedom. But all I see is blood-stained stars. All I hear is bloodthirsty howls.
Grace, Aunt Tempy snaps, where's your mind? Let's clear these dishes and get the wood for tomorrow's fire.
I look up. Anna and Uncle Moses is already gone.
Jordan's safe, Aunt Tempy whispers, her voice kinder. I'll wash the dishes. You check the woodpile.
How do you know, Aunt Tempy? How do you know Jordan's safe? People what goes to the swamp don't come out. I heard old George Cooper say, if the dogs don't get 'em, the gators do.
Jordan didn't go to the swamp, Aunt Tempy says. He went north. Don't ask me how I know. I just know. Now go outside and check that wood.
I wonder how Aunt Tempy knows so many things. All I know is she'll never tell me. One evening, when Jordan's been gone about 2 weeks, and I'm still helping in the kitchen and serving in the dining room, Master Allen tells the missus it's time for a better plan. I'm standing at the sideboard, holding a glass sugar bowl, because the missus might need an extra sprinkle to sweeten her apple fritter. Pink dots spot the missus' cheeks. It was only a get-by plan. She turns to me with her stinkweed look and sends me back to the kitchen. We obviously need someone more experienced and dignified, I hear her say.
I've already told you, Anna was a gift from my mother. Anna stays.
Then why not sell Grace? A visit to the auction block might help her learn her place.
Me? Sell me? Feels like a burning fire iron is poking my chest. But I stay still and listen.
Gertie,
Master says, and his voice is sharper than a wood splinter.
I've told you,
Grace is an investment. Grace stays.
My breath is finally finding its way out when the missus breathes a long, lingering sigh.
Then how about those two little boys who do nothing but squeal and chase each other?
I believe they are Grace's half-brothers.
Under my feet, the floor sways, and my head wobbles like a spinning top.
Toddlers, even two of them, won't bring in enough,
I hear Master Allen say, and I breathe deep. The missus's voice rolls on in the darkness.
Then how about selling their mother with them? Bringing Grace's family to the auction block might finally teach Grace who she is and where she belongs.
Yes, yes, Master says, like those thoughts is his own. Two little ones and their mother. They should fetch near enough. We'll leave tomorrow.
The breath, what stuck inside me, gives me a tingling pain, and the darkness, what's been rolling round me, squeezes tighter and tighter, tighter and tighter, till I feel it so tight, it squeezes me inside. I wake up in Aunt Tempy's bed.
You done fainted,
Aunt Tempy says. She touches my forehead.
Get some rest in the morning, you'll be fine.
I move to my pallet and close my eyes. In the darkness, the chalky faces of Master Allen and the missus swirl and budge in a threatening circle. Fear sits on my bones, heavy as a barrel of lard. Waves of sickness roll over me.
The auction block's a putrid place, Uncle Jim said. Folks is pulled and poked like they's a prize heifer. You hear auction and you run, he said. Auction's nothing but weeping mamas and whimpering children.
The auction block's no place for my beautiful, beautiful brothers. The auction block's no place for my mama, what's prettiest in the county, and what's got nothing but the good Lord's kindness inside her. Aunt Tempy leaves me to finish cleaning the kitchen and get ready for morning. Master Allen's words mix with Uncle Jim's.
They should fetch near enough.
You hear auction and you run. I'm lying still as stone, trying to stop the rolling and make a plan.
They should fetch near enough.
You hear auction and you run. Round and round, I follow the words, what's running circles in my aching head.
They should fetch near enough.
You hear auction and you run. Round and round, the voices go. You hear auction and you run. You run. You run. By the time Aunt Tempy returns, my plan is set.